Is that better? I've got something good to say here, so I want y'all to hear it. As we work our way through the Ten Commandments, we've approached it from this idea that the Ten Commandments are basically our guidelines, our lines on the field for the game that we're playing, if you will. And this morning, you're going to get two new lines because we're going to cover two commandments. And I bet by now some of you, the game that we're playing is becoming a lot more clear. But turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, I'm going to start reading at verse 13. We're going to get two commandments for the price of one today. You shall not, verse 13, you shall not murder. Verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. Now, I'll be honest with you, in my early walk, in my early Christian walk, I looked at the Ten Commandments as something that we needed to conquer, if you will, something where I need to be within these boundaries to be okay. And honestly, I looked at these two and I checked them off. I said, I can do those without much effort. I mean, not many of us, these two commandments are stumbling blocks, if you will. There's not, I don't think there's any murderers in here. It's this idea we've approached that, okay, I can do that. I can check that one off, check that one off. Okay, there's only eight now I have to worry about. But Jesus had a bit of different idea. And turn with me over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I told you that early in my Christian walk, I looked at the commandments as things to conquer, to check off. These two commandments, when I began to understand them, they brought into focus the entire idea of what the Ten Commandments should mean to us. And it was really around Jesus' explanation of these two. Look at Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to start reading in verse 21. This is in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, his landmark message, if you will, that he preached. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. You have heard that it said to people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, that's an Aramaic word. It means worthless. It's this idea that you are nothing to me, that you are not even worth the air that you're breathing. Raka is answerable to in court. Anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Skip down to verse 27. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you the truth, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to have lose one part of your body than lose your whole body to be thrown into hell. Verse 30, and if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body go into hell. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If we took that interpretation literally, there is not a man alive who still has his eyes. Okay? Am I right? Let's be honest. You've got to gouge them out, they're gone. What's Jesus trying to get across to us? And just for you ladies, I think the murder part's easier for y'all, or harder for y'all than it is to us. There's a bunch of people y'all'd like to just wipe off the face of the earth. we just get over it. Y'all just carry it forever. What Jesus is trying to say to us, and when I came to understand about these two commandments, it brought everything else into focus. And it's this idea that the Ten Commandments have nothing to do with your outward actions. They have everything to do with the condition of your heart. And when your heart is right, your actions will follow. But when you're so focused on your outward actions, because you can say, I didn't murder anybody, so I got that one. Okay, you ever been angry? Well, you already messed that one up. Jesus is saying, I don't care about your actions. They'll correct themselves when you give me your heart. When you hand over the keys to your heart and be focused on me, your actions will take care of themselves. And the things that you were used to put so much effort and worry and concern into, they'll be gone. Look what Paul has to say about this. Colossians chapter 3. The men got a head start on this Monday, and we probably needed it because this was our scripture when we had our Bible study this past Monday on Return to Mayberry. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. Remember here, he is talking to the church, okay? These are not lost people. This is the church he's talking to. He's talking to us. It's easier to go, well, they need to do this or that. No, this is us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. Since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to you, revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Look at verse 5. Put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Do not be greedy, for the greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of the world. Because of the sins, the anger of God is coming. Verse 7. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now it is time to get rid of the anger, rage, malice, behavior, slander, and dirty language. Do not lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all the wicked deeds. Verse 10. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you're learning to know your Creator and become like Him. In this life, it doesn't matter if you are Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave, or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Christ is all that matters. See, the thing for us, now remember, he's talking to the church here. He's talking to us, and it is not an issue of whether, don't panic, somebody just tried to get in this door, so they're going to see. That whole corner of the room went. What Paul is telling us here is, you need to look different. There's a new nature that you should have on. You should have put it on and not look like the world. There are a lot of people who claim to be Christians who claim to have this new nature, but you can't tell any difference in that and what they were before. Let me see if I can illustrate this to you. If you got a bulletin, take it out, turn it over to where the sermon notes, where you should be taking notes, but you're not. It's okay. All right. A number of years ago, I went to a Reba McEntire concert. She changed clothes on stage. Blew my mind. I mean, there she was one moment, and then the blink of an eye, she's wearing something else. How? Okay, I'm not that good. Okay, I'm going to go backstage. I'm going to make a wardrobe change, or maybe not. When I come back, the question is going to be, can you tell what's changed? Don't shout it out, okay? There may be one or there may not be. I want to show you something. I'll be right back. I think I got some music. Anybody get it? Who thinks I changed nothing? Okay, most of the crowd. Who thinks I changed something? What was it? My what? My shoes? Jacket? This is what I started in. Here's the point. If you look like a non-Christian, what good is your witness? Paul says, put on a new nature. It should not be so close to your old nature that nobody can tell the difference. So, is it possible for us to get beyond the sin that so easily entangles us? The answer is yes. Look at this. Look at Colossians 3, verse 5, where we just were. He says here, put to death the sinful nature, earthly things lurking within you. He's telling you to put it to death, which means you can, right? It means you can. Because he wouldn't tell you to do something that you couldn't do. And then verse 10, put on your new nature and be renewed. Put it on. He's saying it can be done. Put it on. How do you do that? I got three things to share with you about how you and I live within the Ten Commandments that gives us freedom in this life to do what Jesus wants us to do, and that's be like Him. The first thing, this is important, if you want to get rid of your sin that entangles you and the things that keep you from looking like Christ, you have to let the Holy Spirit do the driving. Okay? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Now here's the key here. He's not saying you're not going to crave it, right? The challenge for us with sin that we keep doing over and over again, let's be honest, we like it. Whatever it is, we like it. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Holy Spirit gives us the desire to do the opposite of what our sinful nature desires. Anybody ever heard of John Daly? Probably had the talent to be the greatest golfer ever. But you know what? He loved to drink. He loved to smoke. And he loved chasing women. He loved it more than golf. He was given the talent to play golf, but he loved other things more. It's just like for us, we've been given a way to be like Christ more in every day that we live, but we just like other things better. And so we have to let the Holy Spirit do the driving. A number of years ago, I was at one of my favorite places on earth, Dodger Stadium. And from home plate to the dead center field wall is 400 feet. That night, the Dodgers had center fielder playing by the name of Yasiel Puig. A fly ball, there's a man on third, fly ball to center field. Puig catches that ball 5 feet off the warning track. The warning track's 10 feet wide, he's 5 feet off of it. That's 385 feet to home plate. I watched him throw the ball in the air to the catcher and gun down the guy who was trying to score. One of the greatest arms I've ever seen. But he lacked one thing: discipline. He liked other things better than baseball. And he's not playing anymore, because he didn't have the discipline to be focused on what God had given him to accomplish what he could have. You and I are tangled up in sin because we don't let the Holy Spirit do the driving. We would much rather focus on things we like. Second thing, first, let the Holy Spirit do the driving. Second thing, fall in love with God's Word. Fall in love with God's Word. Psalms 119:11 says, this is one you probably know, 119 verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. What does that tell you the purpose of Scripture is? To make you more like Christ, so that you're not off of the path. Anthony Hopkins once said in an interview, when he gets the script for a movie, he reads it 200 times before he ever gets to the first rehearsal. 200 times. You know why? He said, when I get there, I know it. When I get there, I know it. If you want to live in such a way where we're reflecting Christ and our new nature doesn't look like our old nature, hide God's Word in your heart. Let the Holy Spirit do the driving. And the third thing, talk to Jesus in your language. Talk to Jesus in your language. What's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. Everybody knows that. Let me tell you one of the most important ones. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Anybody know that one? Never stop praying. Never stop praying. If you're talking to Jesus, it's really hard to sin. But the challenge for us is we think that we have to approach Jesus with this holier-than-thou language. Talk to Jesus in your language. Grant and I have a really close relationship that has been fostered over the 23 years of his life. He and I have a unique bond in that we think a lot alike because we've spent so much time together. We also have a language that is all our own. We could talk about you in front of you and you would never know we were doing it. Okay? When Lauren came to live with us when she first moved here, she said it was like walking into some bizarre world because there's all this banter and language between us that means nothing to anybody but us, but it means everything to us. I could say one word to him right now that would make no sense to you, but he would know exactly what I'm talking about. My point is this. Talk to Jesus in your language, not some holier than thou you think what he wants to hear. If you want Jesus to be with you, he knows everything about you. So talk to him like you would talk to your best friend. Because he wants the closest relationship that you have with anybody. If you want your old nature to look a lot different than your new nature, understand that the Ten Commandments are our guideline to change our heart, not our outside actions. When your heart gets changed, your outside actions will follow. And if you want to move past the sin that maybe you've been struggling with for years, let the Holy Spirit do the driving. Hide God's Word. And talk to Jesus a lot. Stand with me and let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for loving us enough to give us boundaries and guidelines, to give us freedom and joy and happiness in living in you. Lord, let our hearts be changed. As we look at your commandments, let us live them out because of our hearts changed. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.